Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, and we'll be picking up on page 114 at the topic, A New Command. And if you have your study guide, go ahead and turn there now because it is our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The last several weeks, we've sketched out kind of a progression of growth in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what eternal life is, knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's the quality of life that we've been raised to walk in, to live, to experience right here, right now. And as we grow in our knowledge of Christ, things start to happen inside of us. We begin to be transformed. It's that transformation that the New Testament talks about, that God is conforming us, transforming us into the image of his Son. And so that progression starts with young children, then young men, and then fathers. And fathers have really grown in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have come to see his purposes and his plans for the world, not just for themselves, but they see themselves as a part of a bigger picture. And that's exciting when you can realize that God is using you to be a part of his plan to connect people to the love of God. And that's really what the grace of God is all about. It's God's work in us to connect us to his love, to enable us to understand, to be grounded in that love and to grow in that love. And as we do, we see that salvation is much more than just me being saved. As N.T. Wright said, salvation is not simply God's gift to his people, but God's gift through his people.
Yeah.
So we have this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful privilege to express the grace of God, the love of God out there in the world. And God uses that to connect others to that same grace and that same love. And to be a part of that plan, to be a part of that rescue mission, I don't know that there's anything more exciting in life than that. It's a great privilege that we all have as children of God. But that's the focus. That's the direction the grace of God leads us. You know, it reaches down, it saves us, but it doesn't leave us just right there. Grace continues to work in us and to bring us to this point where we're really fully engaged in God's purposes, God's plan throughout this world. But as far as this word grace is concerned, it is not without its critics. There are so many people, and within the body of Christ, and I cannot believe this.
Yes.
I just cannot believe it. But they are skeptical of the grace of God. They say it needs to be balanced by law. If we just teach this grace of God, people are going to go out and sin like crazy. It's just a license to sin. Those are folks who don't know what the grace of God is.
Yeah.
But they continue to drone away, they continue to criticize, they continue to cast doubt on the sufficiency of the grace of God for all things. And one of their criticisms is that if we just teach the grace of God, here's what you're saying, that there's no law that can constrain the behavior of people. And the theological word is a long word, antinomianism. And it's a word that means without law. So what these critics are saying, that if you teach the grace of God in its fullness, in its purity, and just lay it out there, people don't have any law to constrain them. Their behavior is just going to go crazy. But that is not the case. And the scripture really counters that argument.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to look at today, is what the scripture says about this new covenant in which we live in. So our first question is this, and this is in the middle of page 114. One of the criticisms of the grace of God is that it leaves people without law or a rule for life. How does the first promise of the new covenant address this criticism? And this new covenant is laid out for us in Hebrews chapter 8, and verse 10 of chapter 8 gives us this first promise. It says this, "This is the covenant that I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So how does this first promise address this criticism that grace is going to leave people without law or a rule of law, a rule for life for their daily living?
It explicitly explains to us that far from an outside in, God out there, law out there, trying to constrain me from the outside, behavior modification.
Yes.
It explicitly takes it inside. Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit in me, therefore writing what God wants me to do on my heart and transforming me from the inside out.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. The law was negative in its language. So it was do not, you know, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, do not steal, do not covet. So those were all the do nots. And so we tried to constrain ourselves from those activities. And that was through human effort. It was on our shoulders to use that law as a constraining, deterring factor in our behavior to keep us from doing something externally. We're not supposed to commit adultery, but that's where the law left us, just with the do nots. It never went to the positive side and said, here's what you're supposed to do. So this law that is now within us is the law of faith, hope, and love, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. It says, do not commit adultery, but now the Spirit of God living in us is going to teach us how to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now, that's a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The law said, do not steal or do not covet your neighbor's things. And the Spirit of God is going to teach us how to love our neighbors, how to serve our neighbors, how to meet our neighbors' needs, how to really be involved in their lives. So it is a huge difference. So it's not that we're without law. It's the fact that we're now with the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit, His work in our lives, is going to be much more effective than any laws written on stone or anywhere else. Those are just external things, and the hope there is to try to constrain us as much as it possibly can, but it cannot affect the heart. It No. cannot change the heart. Only the Spirit of God can do that, and that's what we have in this new covenant. Yeah. By His Spirit, God is written the laws, His laws, in our minds and on our hearts. So let's take a look and see exactly what these laws are, and we'll do that in just a second.
Yeah, our Friday study is from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, friends. Of course, that's Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. If you've joined the study in progress or missed any of the sessions, why, we encourage you to take advantage of the archive of these Friday broadcasts at basicgospel.net. Just click the radio drop-down menu, then select Teaching Edition. There you'll find the full archive, and there you'll also find the opportunity to order a copy of the study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to accompany your study. Please keep in mind also, friends, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast and program, and if what you're hearing is helping you, if it's clearing up some things in your mind, your heart, your spirit, then we ask you to help keep this good news on the air with a gift today. Visit basicgospel.net to donate, or simply call 844-322-2742. You can use that number 24 hours a day. 844-322-2742, or again, just visit basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the question is, if God has written His laws in our hearts and on our minds, what exactly are those laws? Has He just taken the Ten Commandments and off of the tablets of stone and now has chiseled those into our hearts, or is it something different? And so we're going to take a look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say to us. So we're going to look at Romans 3:27, 1 Peter 1:3, and 1 John 3:23. And all of these verses are going to really outline for us what these new laws are that are now in our hearts and our minds. So Romans 3:27, Richard, will you read that to us?
Sure. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith.
Okay. So what has God written on our hearts according to this passage?
It's a law of faith.
A law of faith. So God has put faith in our hearts. So what is His number one requirement? what is his will for every single person, and that is to walk by faith,
yes,
to live by faith, to have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, to have faith in response to the grace of God. That is God's desire, God's will for every single person, and God has put that in our hearts.
Yes.
That's a part of the Holy Spirit's work to bring that faith, to animate that faith within us so that we can live in that newness of life. That's the newness of life that God's called us to, this life of faith. We knew nothing about faith before coming to Jesus.
No.
Jesus is the object of our faith. When he enters the picture, faith comes to life.
Yes.
Without Jesus in the picture, if it's just the law, no faith.
No.
Faith does not exist apart from Jesus. And I think that's a very critical point for us to understand, that faith is tied to Jesus. If you cut that cord, faith does not stand alone. It just simply diminishes into nothing.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, animates this faith that is now within us as a result of the grace of God. 1 Peter 1:3 gives us another clue as to what these laws are. Why don't you read that for us,
okay,
Richard?
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
So according to this passage, what is God through his Spirit or by his Spirit written on our hearts?
A living hope.
A living hope. No hope in the old covenant.
No.
No hope of drawing near to God. No hope of being made perfect in his sight. No hope of standing before him righteous and holy. No hope of eternal life. There was no hope under the law, under that old covenant. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's what we were destined for. Now that Christ has come on the scene, he's put hope in our hearts. It's a living hope. It's a dynamic hope. It's a vibrant hope. Now, because of Jesus, because he's alive, living in us, we have hope. And boy, does that ever make a difference in everyday living.
Yeah.
Without hope, we're just going to wither up and die. But with hope, we can gain new perspective on every circumstance, every situation that we encounter in day-to-day life. So now in Christ, we have internally a living hope. And then the third thing is 1 John 3:23, and I think this is one of those verses we need to star, underline, memorize,
yeah,
all of these sort of things, because he starts out this passage, and this is his command. So if whoever has, as Jesus said in John 14, whoever has his commands, that is the one and keeps those commands, that is the one who loves God. Mm-hmm. So what are his commands?
Yeah.
And here John really spells those out in very clear, plain, black and white language. So, Richard, why don't you read that for us?
And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us.
Okay. So what is he written in our hearts according to this?
It's this belief in the name of Jesus Christ and love one toward another.
It's huge.
Huge.
It's huge. Like we said, the law simply said, do not commit adultery. There was nothing in it that taught us how to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Do not bear false witness. There was nothing there that taught us how to tell the truth. Do not covet your neighbor's things. There was nothing there that would teach us how to love our neighbors. But now in this new covenant, we have the Spirit that is living within us, and he is teaching us those very things,
yeah,
how to walk by faith in Jesus Christ and have that faith be expressed in love one toward another. So these are the new laws. These are the new things that not only constrain, that keep us from saying yes to sin, but compel us to say yes to Jesus Christ and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation as we wait for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
One of the things that we have done historically within Christianity is when we say Ten Commandments, we quite naturally go to the last ones. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't covet. But those first four are handled by this as well.
Yes.
First four about having no other gods before me, worshiping only the one true God, not taking God's name in vain, and learning how to rest. Those are impossible under the law of sin and death just as much as anything else.
Right.
And if you're believing in the name of Jesus and you're loving, all of that has come because those first four commandments are now fulfilled in you by the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The whole thing is covered, every bit of it.
So those first four, now God has written faith in our hearts. Mm-hmm. So we're not worried about bowing down to other gods.
Yeah.
We're learning how to worship the one true God.
Absolutely.
And that is huge. And as we're learning how to worship the one true God, how to walk by faith in Him, trust and rely upon Him, we're not going to be bowing down to the things of this world.
Yeah.
It's just the natural byproduct. As Paul put it, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires
Correct.
Of the flesh. It's just as simple as that. So when did all this change? And this is an important thing. We've talked about this on numerous occasions. But when did all this change? And it changed when Jesus Christ became our high priest.
Yes.
It all changed at the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. So Hebrews 7:12 really spells out something that's important for us to understand. And it's something that we gloss over. I don't think very many people really pay attention to this verse, but it's significant in its implications to us on a day-to-day basis. So what does Hebrews 7:12 say to us?
For when the priesthood has changed, the law must be changed also.
Okay, so what happens when there is a change of the priesthood?
There must be a change in law.
Absolutely. So when Christ became our high priest, and that's what happened.
Yes.
Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he was named by God the Father as a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, he didn't come out of the Levitical line.
No.
He wasn't supposed to be a priest. He was out of the line of Judah, and nowhere in the Old Covenant, nowhere in the Old Testament, is there ever a mention of somebody rising out of the line of Judah to serve as a priest.
Correct.
The only thing is that there was going to be one that was coming in the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was a strange, obscure character, wasn't
yeah.
he? Just kind of showed up, met Abraham after he had defeated some kings. He blessed Abraham with bread and wine, kind of a foreshadowing of Christ and his body and blood. But he blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave him a portion, 10% of the spoils. And then he just disappeared. We know nothing more about
him.
He was mysterious. He had no beginning, no end, no genealogy. And so the writer of Hebrews takes that and says, this is what Jesus is like. He has an indestructible life. Mm-hmm. He comes from above, and now he stands as our high priest forever. And because he continues or lives forever, he is able to save us completely.
Yes.
Boy, that is good news.
It is.
So there was a change. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the old. It came to a completion. There was no longer a need for the Levitical priesthood. And he, as he was raised back to life, he has that indestructible life. Now he stands as our high priest. Everything flows through him.
Yes.
And with that change came a change in the law.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that. The law has been changed. Mm-hmm. You are now marked out as a child of God by the laws of faith, hope,
yes.
and love. Get that in your mind, folks. Man, let it sink in. Soak it in. And allow Christ to teach you what faith, hope, and love really mean, what they really look like on a day-to-day basis. And it will rock your world, I guarantee you.
Yes.
So, was there a change in the priesthood?
Absolutely.
As a result, what else had to change?
the law had to change.
Absolutely.
And don't let anybody tell you that, oh, so what had to change was the ceremonial law.
No.
No, the Mosaic covenant is an entirety. You
yes.
can't tear a covenant apart that has been duly established.
Right.
God established it with Moses for Israel. It exists.
Right.
Jesus fulfilled all of it. There's none of it left for us to deal with. So don't try to pull it apart. You're either under the old or you're under the new.
Yes.
You can't be under both.
Yes. And we don't have to worry about this word morality.
Correct.
I mean, that's what people sometimes drone on about. Well, if we set aside that old covenant, as the writer of Hebrews encourages us to do, why? Because God has set it aside. It's fulfilled its purpose. Then the question is, what's going to happen to morality? Well, love covers that in spades.
Oh, yes.
We don't have to worry.
Now, what happened to morality under the old covenant?
Yes, yes.
We weren't doing very well.
Yeah, so the most moral people in the world are going to be those who are trusting Jesus and expressing that faith in love one toward another. Mm-hmm. Those are the most moral people in the world, and
yes.
it's not because they're trying to be moral. It's not because they're trying to live up to a standard. It's because the life of Christ is being expressed through them.
Yes.
And he was without sin. He was righteous. He was upright. And he's living his life through us. He walked in love from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And that same love is going to pour out through us. So we don't have to try to be moral. Simply walk by faith and express that in love, and that's going to cover that whole issue.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about that, do we?
Absolutely not.
Well, so how does the New Testament writers describe this new law in the following verses? And we're going to look at three more verses. Romans 8:12. Love this particular passage. It really, you know, contrasts the old law with something brand new. So, Richard, yeah. what does this verse say?
Okay. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death.
Okay. So the law of the Spirit of life, the
yes.
law of the Spirit who gives life. That's what we're under now.
Mm-hmm.
The law of the Spirit. Is that good news?
Sure
oh,
is.
My goodness. We're under the law of the Spirit. Galatians 6:2 says something pretty powerful
yeah.
as well.
Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
So how is this new law described here?
It's the law of Christ.
The law of Christ, carrying each other's burdens. Did the law, the Ten Commandments, those ceremonial laws, teach us how to do that?
No.
Absolutely not. But here the law of Christ does. And the last one is James 1:25, and we'll stop here.
Okay. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
The law of freedom.
Law of freedom.
So we have the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, and when we're following those, we're going to live in freedom.
Yes.
That's what this new covenant is all about. We don't have to worry. God has it all under control.
Absolutely. And guys, as good as this news is, we know that our listeners might have some questions about what they've been hearing on this broadcast. So if you do over the weekend, call 844-322-2742. Record your question. We'll be glad to address it this coming week on Basic Gospel. To all of those of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, thank you. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel will be able to continue to do what we do, and that is proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you give through Basic Gospel, keep in mind that you have a part in every life that is touched. To help with the gift today, click the prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we have a special gift for you as our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. Once again, there's a prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to partner with us in this good news of the new covenant and the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide we've been studying through. We hope you have your copy. If you don't, go online and you'll find it at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody, at Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again for another live edition of Basic Gospel on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.